we're turning to McLean County politics this afternoon. We are joined in studio by the vice chairman of the McLean County Board. It is Jim Soldner in studio. Jim, welcome to the show. Thanks for stopping by.
How's it going?
It's going. It's going. I'm glad we got you on because we don't have nearly enough voices from the county board. We were kind of talking about that before the show. It seems like we only hear about county board when something bad is happening.
Well, unfortunately, that's kind of how the world works. As long as things are going by smoothly, you don't hear much. But we've got some issues that we're going to have to deal with, and so this is a good opportunity for me to talk about them a little bit.
Absolutely. And something we're going to get to right off the bat is the 2018 budget. There's been a lot of talk on this, mainly trying to address this $1.5 million budget shortfall. And you're taking some measures to do that, different measures to avoid having to, perhaps lay employees off. There's a lot of different measures you guys are looking at. Can you expand on that? What's the state right now?
Yeah, well, we're gonna do a voluntary workforce reduction plan. Before I get into that, though, I would like to mention kind of why we've come up with this shortfall, and it all lays at the feet of the state. It's funny how they can come up with this. We were hoping for a budget. They finally passed a budget, and then in that budget, they throw in these little monkey wrenches that we don't expect. And there's a 2% sales tax surcharge that they're enacted now. We're going to lose about $500,000 in personal property replacement tax. We're supposed to get some local government distributed fund payments. They're going to delay those. And then today at the Transportation Committee, we found that we're going to lose almost $200,000 in motor fuel tax funds. And again, all those are provisions that were enacted in the budget without any say-so from the local units of government, the people that it's going to affect. And it's really disappointing that they can do that. But county government is an invention of the state government, and so we kind of have to deal with that. But
sure.
We're looking at it. We're calling it a voluntary workforce reduction plan. There's approximately 61 employees that are eligible. Those are employees that have worked for the county for 18 years or more. We're hoping that at least 25 of those will choose to participate in this program. And the program is a combination of one-time payments and health insurance subsidies. There's some cases where maybe employees are on their spouse's insurance, and so if that's the case, we won't pay for their insurance, but we'll give them a higher one-time payment. Mm-hmm. There's about three different programs, and again, the years I've been on the county board, this is probably one of the most difficult decisions I've had to make, because this is dealing with people's lives, and it's unfortunate, but if you're listening to the news, City of Peoria, Normal, I mean, lots of units of government are faced with the same problem, and this is what we're going to try and do.
Very good. And so we got 61 employees eligible for the buyout, hoping 25 are going to get involved. That seems like a reasonable, guesstimation out front. Do we have anyone that's accepted it yet? Is there a certain deadline you guys are looking at?
Yeah, actually, we have a few people that have actually voiced that they were going to do it. They haven't filled out the paperwork yet. We're hoping to get this done in the next couple months. Again, our budget, we're in the process of looking at the numbers right now. We normally pass the budget in November, December. It goes enacted in January. So, unfortunately, just like anything else, time's kind of a problem right now. So we're hoping that the employees that decide to do this will decide so rather quickly.
Very good. And do we know what departments this is going to affect?
Well, it's affecting all the departments. We found out today there's at least one employee of the highway department's leaving. I know that there's one person in administration's leaving. I think the county clerk's office is one or two people leaving. I think every department's going to lose some. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen is, for instance, in the county clerk's office, you're going to probably find more lines that you had than before, or longer lines. You're going to find times when people are going to call in and they may have to answer, an answer machine will respond to them. There's just things that's going to make it a little more inconvenience for the general public, but we're hoping that that's really all that affects the people, and hopefully we can still maintain the government the way it is.
Sure, sure. And let's say, not necessarily a doomsday scenario, but worst case scenario that not everyone accepts the buyouts that you're hoping for. Are there any other, things you guys can do? Right, is there a contingency plan for that?
I guess, unfortunately, it may become less involuntary or more involuntary, less voluntary. Mm-hmm. We might find, again, that we have some people that are on the fence, that again, those people might be asked to go ahead and take the program, and we're hoping that it won't come to that.
Sure. Well, and to the point you made, you know, a lot of this, most all of this budget shortfall attributed to some losses from the state. And I remember this when units of local government kind of saw what you called a monkey wrench in the latest budget bill. I mean, it got bipartisan outrage, I mean, from across municipalities in Illinois, that they kind of pulled a fast one on you. And I know I don't think many of our legislators in this area voted for that budget package. Obviously, it passed. But have you been in contact with state officials and expressed these concerns to say, guys, you're kind of killing us here?
Well, unfortunately, as you said, our local people, you know, they all but State Rep Bill Mitchell voted mm-hmm. against the budget. And so what we found was, you know, it's at the feet of Mike Madigan and those Democrats and those huge Republicans that did approve of this budget. Now, with that being said, I know that higher education, some of the human service people are happy that this budget passed. And I guess at one point, I guess you might say we are also. Mm-hmm. We were just hoping that there would be more solutions rather than, you know, right now I see us doing the same thing again maybe a year from now or 2 years from now, because they haven't done anything to fix the problem. We just threw more money at it. So, you know, we're concerned that there's going to be more things down the road that we're going to have to do.
Yep, that's Illinois. Let's move on to some, I guess, somewhat good news, jail expansion. You guys always, I follow the McLean County Twitter page. You guys are always sharing, like, periodic updates of the jail expansion. Things look good. Are we on schedule?
We're on schedule. If you've been by there lately or looked at the Twitter page, you can see there's steel going up. We're starting to do some, you know, some walls put up. Obviously, it's been a great summer and fall for construction. Mm-hmm. Things that went well. You know, there's a little bug from time to time. I know that there's some talk with some of the final plans as far as when they get the building built, some of the inside part with generally we in the past we've had more linear type of construction. This is going to be more open so that the supervisors can see all over, and so we're going to have to make sure that posts aren't in the way, walls aren't in the way, and that's all part of the process.
All right, so moving right along there, and different kind of construction here. We're talking Towanda Barnes, Ireland Grove intersection. There's some congestion issues. We've seen it, especially on social media. I'll see some pictures shared early in the morning of people stuck in traffic. What do you make of it? First of all, describe the that intersection for those that aren't familiar with
Well, I actually come that way quite often. This morning at 8 o'clock, I was late to a meeting because there was four cycles of stop lights I had to wait for before I could get through there. But the problem is we've got you know, one of our highest, our biggest employers, State Farm Insurance. That traffic mm-hmm. comes that way. There's also Cornerstone Academy School is out that direction. Grove Subdivision, Benjamin School. There's lots of traffic. People go in mm-hmm. both directions, and it's from probably 7 to 8:30 in the morning, probably from 3:30 to 5 at night, mm-hmm. and it was tolerable up until this fall, and then District 87 decided to kind of back their start time up, and so mm-hmm. what that's done, it's also forced those people in there. So right now we've got, I think the number was in the past 5 years, 7 million cars have passed that intersection.
Wow.
Something like 30,000, I think, a month. But but anyhow, so we're looking at what we can do to make it not only less congested but safer. We've had some accidents out there. You know yourself, if you're stop-and-go traffic, waiting mm-hmm. for stoplights, sometimes people are distracted with phones or whatever, and there's a lot of rear-end accidents. Mm-hmm. So we've got a proposal. It's a $1.6 million construction proposal. The cost would be shared evenly between the county and the city of Bloomington. Towanda Barnes Road is a county road, but the Island Grove Road is a city road. Mm-hmm. So before this project can go on, we have to make sure that the city is in agreement with the project. We have the money in our budget to do it. So what today at Transportation Committee, the Transportation Chairman Casey is going to meet with the mayor and some of the city administrators to see if the plan is viable and if we can go on and get started with it. There's a lot of work we'd like to get done yet this fall, mm-hmm. but we got to move on it. So it's up to them really to decide whether they're willing to go along. Sure. If they don't, the project just won't happen. We'll have to find another solution.
Right. Do you have some experience dealing with those cross, governmental projects where both the county and the city are involved in?
Well, we've done a lot of those. Mm-hmm. One comes to mind is Route 66 bike trail. That's one between the city of Bloomington Town and Normal and the small communities that are on the trails along with the county. And we tend to have good luck with those. And again, those are more long-term projects. This is a kind of what I would consider a short-term project. We've gotten at least the idea from the city staff that the city's in favor of it, but it could be, you know, it's up to the councilmen, each one, to decide how they feel about it. And again, it's important not just for the congestion, but for the safety. And it's not going to get any better. I mean, there's more and more people, more and more students. And, you know, I'm in favor of doing it just mainly because of the safety issue and the fact that it's going to have to be done someday.
Sure. We're talking this afternoon with Jim Soldner. He is vice chair of the McLean County Board. And I want to talk now about the nursing home. I think we had a story running on this a week or so ago, but we got news that it's operating at a $1 million deficit. You're saying it's due to fewer beds in use and late payments by state and federal governments. Expand on that. Can you offer some insight in, I guess, the decline that we're seeing with the nursing home?
Well, usually we have anywhere from 120 to 130 beds that are used out there. And in the past few months, that number's dropped, and I believe it's below 100 now. And obviously when that happens, when you have fewer patients, you have fewer people paying for the operation, and so that's part of the problem. Now the other issue is a large number of those patients are people that are on Medicare or Medicaid, and so we are waiting on payments from the state of Illinois, the federal government, and when all that happens, it causes a big cash flow problem.
Sure.
So part of this is the fact we are running at a deficit, but part of it is the fact that it's a cash flow problem. And so we have to take money from our fund balance, you might call it, an unencumbered fund balance, to cash flow it. And we can only do that so long. And so I know the health committee is looking at options, and I think the full county boards, we're going to have to make a decision on what we can do to make it more profitable.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're hoping for, there's been discussion on maybe starting and building an Alzheimer's wing.
Mm-hmm.
We're finding there's more and more patients with Alzheimer's, and there's fewer and fewer places for those people to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
There's some needed repairs to be made at the nursing home anyhow, and so this might be a good time, if we find it feasible, to go ahead and do this Alzheimer's wing and make some of those repairs at the same time. Again, there's a big question on whether it's sustainable and how long we're going to be able to keep going with it, and that's one of the things we're actually looking at.
That's the thing, and we know obviously nursing care is an expanding industry, but you guys got to compete with some big names,
right? And that's the other thing. You know, we do have a large number of private pay patients, but not to the extent that some of the other ones do. So, you know, if you're getting a full ride with someone, that makes a big difference in your cash flow also.
Yeah.
So that's part of our issue.
Absolutely. Let's close with some, I would say, good news. You got your 8th annual coat drive going on in promotion of the Salvation Army, and you got all sorts of locations you're going to be at in the next month or two.
Yeah, I try and go around to my villages in my district, District 2, and you know, with the hurricanes and the earthquake, there's a large amount of need, and there's no, I don't want to make that sound not important, but we also have a need here locally.
Sure.
and so the clothes that I'm going to collect will be used here locally. Used to be called Coats for Kids, and that's still kind of a customary name for it, but what the Salvation Army, I've been talking to Angie Fulton there, that their big demand is more for adult clothing right now, coats, and for teenagers and adults, and obviously kids too, and shoes and boots. And so I'm going to collect anything. Nothing's going to be turned away. I'm also going to take cash. I've had some of that in the past also. So I will be going to Bellflower and Saybrook, Arrowsmith, Ellsworth, Leroy Downs, Hayworth, and Towanda on consecutive Saturdays starting October 21st.
All right.
I usually put up some posters in the grocery stores and in the post office, so there'll be some more information on that in the future.
All right, good deal. Good deal there. Stay tuned. And we have been joined again by Jim Soldner. He is the vice chairman of the McLean County Board, and he joins us on the afternoon report. Jim, it's been a pleasure, sir. We'll have to get you on again soon.
Anytime.